I'll say a few things to break the ice since we are in this, this great camp meeting. It's been incredible to share this ministry opportunity with a real apostle. Yeah. Do you mind if I say that? And Apostle Thompson and Mom Thompson are absolutely phenomenal. When I say real apostle, it's not just a title. Right. It's an office. Yeah. And it's a functioning and a track record behind that. A great professional basketball player probably will average 48 or 49% from the field, you know, for half their shots. And that's considered excellent. Baseball, I think their average 340, 350 would be like great. That's not even half. That's just like one third of your at bats you hit. And they're considered excellent. An apostle does not have room to shoot 50%. An apostle can't get by with 35%. And ours doesn't. He swings for the fence and goes over the fence every single time. And we should be grateful for that because it has something to do with our going forward as well. And so Dad and Mom Thompson, he's an apostle. We call him Dad as well, affectionately. We love you and bless you and your family, the Royal Family, and all of LTMA and all of Word of Life, all of Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. We're part of all of that. And we thank God for you and bless the work that you're doing in our lives. You Satan lost a position, but it said before he fell, he sealed up to some. No, he had it all. He just had it all going on. And you seal up to some. You just got it. Family, marriage, ministry, money goes without saying. You have it all going on. Tracy, thank you for just standing and being in place today. As always, I appreciate you. Don't take it lightly. And my beautiful family that's here and all of the stadium worshipers that are in the house as well. I thank you. And I'm going to get right to it. But let me say this. I meant to say this a couple of times and I haven't. Bishop Robertson and I have been together for 38 years. I mean, that's amazing. We've been together in ministry. At first, I discipled him. Bishop Thomas and I discipled him. And Pastor Barbara's here as well. Wave your hand, Pastor Barbara, because you were part of that hookup. But in all these years, not one cross word amongst the six of us. Not one argument, not one bitter word or bitter moment. And then our children actually married each other. And well, they didn't marry each other. We married them. Now we share two grandchildren as well. It is just a blessing. And this is great. Bishop Robertson taught yesterday and was excellent. You ought to really get the archive and get a hold of that. But he shared something about his two personas. And see, I sought it up close because campus ministry, I led the campus ministry. I also was a choir director. And I decided one fateful day, I said, Dan's going to sing the solo. I'm going to give the solo to Dan. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So he was, oh, no, I don't know. I don't know if I want to sing that song. I don't know. So finally, we got in a rehearsal, and he sang it, but he sang it real mild and real, real peaceable and quiet. Then we got in the ministry as a concert, and he said, he picked me up out of a crowd that was bound to be lost. He cleaned me up, and he made me new. Now I am not ashamed. Whoa, whoa! And so when he hit that, the whole choir fell apart. And the whole church fell apart because this mild, quiet Dan, he got jiggy with it. So, but he is He is one of my two best friends. The other one is on the platform as well. And I've just been blessed that way. All right. So take a moment. Let's pray and take a few moments. You ask the Lord in your own way, Lord, I need to hear right now. I really want to hear. And I apply myself to hearing in these moments. Just in your own words, you can go in tongues or go in English, but Lord, help me to hear. Let me hear. Let me really, really hear today. I came here with some issues. I'm prepared to hear. And I know faith is going to come by here and like speak to my heart. And then Lord, as the speaker today, I submit and surrender all the time to you. I'm not going to tithe the time. You get all of it and use it efficiently and effectively in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You may have your seats as you choose to. My opening is not Mark 1:15, but I want to start with that because it sets the groundwork for where we are as believers in Christ. Mark 1:15 says that the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus said, so therefore, believe and repent. Those are two things that the kingdom of God demands, is that we repent and then that we also believe. When the kingdom of God is at hand, that means the apostolic is in full play. And we know apostolic, we understand that it really is dictating to us three things. The kingdom of God apostolically is territorial. It is militaristic. You know those, right? Territorial and militaristic, and it is governmental. And there's never a more important time in the history of Christendom to be tuned in apostolically, government-wise. The enemies of God, and some people don't believe God has enemies, but he has enemies. The spirit of Molech, that Molech spirit, killing babies. The spirit of theft, stealing the rainbow, which refers to God's promise to mankind. And then we want to use it for something else. These are acts of war. This is the enemy trying to take over. And I promise you, every time he does, the kingdom of God pushes back. Paul said it this way, where sin does abound, grace abounds even more. And so now is the time to really function in the kingdom of God and to be connected properly and not to let go. Yes. And don't run out. Yes. How can God get you to a church like Word of Life or a church like Mount Gilead or a church like Columbus Christian? And you say, well, my time is up. I got to move. What God used your whole life to get you there. I've been in LTMA, but my time, you know, I'm stepping away. What? When the storm is brewing, you don't leave the ark. That's when you get into the ark. You don't let the storm start and you like, let me go see what it's like outside. No, you get into the ark. And so this kingdom brouhaha is what has us here at this camp meeting. Now, in these moments, three things are going to happen to you. You're going to the Holy Spirit is going to address every health deficiency in our lives. He also is going to address every wealth deficiency in our lives. And then he will address every peace deficiency in our lives. And you're going to leave this session hooking it up with the rest of the things you've learned. And you're going to be a wild pit bull when you get back home. The demons won't know what to do with you. Now, the title is this. I'm already there. Say it. I'm already there. But I'm going further. Say it with me again, because I want you to remember that. I'm already there. But I'm going to go further. Where, Dr. Forbes, where? The supernatural. Yeah. I will, by the help of the Holy Spirit, reveal uncover and demonstrate to you that you are already in the supernatural. Yes. See, if we get into challenges and our goal is, all right, I need supernatural power, we'll go looking for it.
Right.
But if we recognize I'm already there, I just need to let fly what I already am. And then Bob's my uncle. You got that? Now, releasing the supernatural dimension that's in you. And then we followed it up with this phrase, building a supernatural blueprint in the atmosphere. And I would add this, reading the supernatural imprint from the blueprint. See, the Lord is able to take the blueprint for the supernatural, lay it on your soul, and then the fire of the Holy Ghost will emblazon that on your soul.
Right.
Now, we're going to learn as supernatural beings to die so that we can live. Now, Dr. Robertson and Dr. Montrell gave that to us. It's, you have to die in order to live. That means you get a resurrection. I saw a video, I guess, recently of a man who got embroiled in a street fight, and he was deprived of his life in that fight. Lost his life. And it was unnecessary. It was a lack of wisdom and a lack of paying attention to what was going on. He was pushing and picking, and then he lost his life. And you could tell as his body was punctured, he felt, my life is over. That was that moment. This moment, you're going to find that your life is back. This meeting, you're going to begin to feel like, I'm leaving with something. I my goodness. My life is back. I mean, my life really is back. So we learn that God's not angry with us. He loves us. He loves us dearly. He proved that when he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He's not against us. He is for us. And when we're realizing that we can see, hear, and understand the move of the Spirit, then we'll be able to realize and recognize exactly what it is he is doing. The supernatural realm of God calls us to go off script. I want to leave you with that phrase. Let's be prepared to go off script. That my life is not according to man's regulation. I found out that Experian is not my daddy. Equifax is not my savior. Oh, come on now. Experian is not my schoolmaster. So we'll go off script. We're going to learn to go off-road. You got to have some special equipment and tires to go off-road. But you as a supernatural being can go off-road. You can go places that ordinary people cannot go. Off the grid and, of course, off the hook. So I'm going to use these moments to, number one, show you how to speed up, catch up, and hook up with your supernatural rights. You have supernatural privilege. You already have been qualified, authorized, and certified to function as a New Testament supernatural believer. You don't have to apply for the supernatural. What you and I need to do is apply the supernatural to our lives. Are you understanding any of this? Now, every promise and every scripture, your favorite scripture, your favorite promise assumes that you're coming to that moment with a supernatural mindset.
Yes, sir.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That assumes you come to that with supernatural expectation. That's not a natural scripture. If God be for me, who can be against me? That assumes that you're coming with a supernatural tint to your life. Are you here? All things work together for my good. Assumes that in your thinking, I'm supernatural. It's a supernatural person saying that. So that explains why we have vision boards. and post-it notes and note cards with scriptures that we're still waiting to get fulfilled because we're trying to get them fulfilled as a natural being, not as fully supernatural like we already are. I smell supernatural in this room. It's a fragrance. I smell it. You are already a supernatural person. So we don't pray, Lord, next week I'm going to need some supernatural help. No. You already are there. What we're going to learn to do is to let it fly, to let it go, to just be who we are. And that now somebody's not going to like you. When you are who you are, someone's not going to like you. But to helicopter with that. You just go ahead and manifest more of what you are so they can understand what they don't like. The most supernatural thing that could happen to you has already happened to you. Usually in a movie or in a book or in some type of screenplay, you start small and you build up, and at the end is the finale. But God begins with the end in mind. So when you start with God, it starts fully supernatural and then goes from there. But the greatest supernatural manifestation of your life has already taken place. Think about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. Not an opening. I just need you to make note of it. It says, we were dead in sins and trespasses. But then God sent his son Jesus and raised us to life. That is the greatest supernatural thing that ever happened. You getting born again. You somehow, as a sinner one moment, naming Christ as Lord, making you born again the next moment, that is the greatest supernatural transformation in the history of your life. And God started with that. Everything after that is easy peasy. Look, he gave you the greatest supernatural manifestation as a sinner. Now you're a believer. Don't tell me the supernatural can't flow. Don't tell me. What? I'm a sinner. And I'm saying, Lord, I repent of my sin. I believe Jesus died on the cross and you raised him from the dead. And I name him Lord of my life. The Father says, done. Supernatural power. As a sinner. Now I'm a believer in tongue talking, tithe giving, seed sowing. Oh no. Get out of my face. You can miss me with that. You can just miss me with that. Supernatural right now. More supernatural than I even know. The scripture gives us at least five designations of that experience I just mentioned to you. It says in Ephesians 2 and 2 Timothy 1, 9, 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 2 Corinthians 2, 15, that we can be saved. Yes. Another word is used for that experience. John 8, 31 through 36 and Acts 11, 26 calls it being a disciple of Christ, a disciple. Acts 26, 28 and 1 Peter 4, 16 and Acts 11, 26 calls it being a Christian. John 1, 12 through 14 and 1 John 3, 1 and 2 calls it being a son or a daughter. But John chapter 3 stands alone in this roster and this roll call.
Right.
John chapter 3, Jesus gives us this. You must be born again. Yes. Now, it's all the same experience, but he didn't say you must be a Christian.
Right. Yeah.
That being Christian is the same as being born again, I understand. But he never said you must be a disciple.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
He never said you must be a son, but he did say you must be born again. And so we're going to talk about that because that is where that supernatural nature came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the born again moment when you decided that I'm a sinner. And I humble myself before God and I ask him to take my sin away and forgive me. And I invite Jesus to come into my heart. That transaction started what I'm going to call a born again boomerang. You know, a boomerang is it's a plane and it's shaped in a way that when you toss it, it catches the wind and it'll come back to where it started. But it'll come back with more momentum. And so by the time you say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Take my sin away. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. By the time you do that, boom, woo, 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 woo. And coming back to your life is supernatural power. Woo, woo. You can hear it right now. Left. Woo, 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 woo. It's coming back. John chapter 3. Let's get there. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, saying unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. So if miracles cannot be done except God be with you, but we know Emmanuel means God is with us, then guess what? Miracles ought to be a part of my life. I mean, not just when I'm on the deathbed, but when I'm on my regular bed. Miracle after miracle after miracle after sign, wonder. Stay with it. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, it's so important to talk about being born again.
Yes, sir. Yeah. All
right. I was slack-apping someone. I was sharing the gospel with them. And I asked her, are you born again? Have you ever been born again? She said, ooh. She said, wow. She said, yeah, I am. But I haven't heard that in a long time. How in the world can a person be in a church and not know a church of Jesus Christ and not know what it means to be born again? How do we not know that? That cannot become old fashioned. That cannot be, oh, well, we don't use that phrase anymore. No, that's the one thing Jesus said we got to do. Now, he said you must be born again, and we already are. So I'm going to start acting like it. I need some crazy, off the hook, off the grid, off the script kind of stuff happening in my life.
Yes.
Stuff that Equifax cannot understand.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Things that my neighbors just can't. Well, how did he do that? Things that people from my past say, well, I remember him when, but how did that happen in his life? See, it's supernatural. It started when I got born again, and it just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on. Some of y'all got to camp meeting supernaturally. These terrible people done raised the prices, the gas, the fuel, the jet fuel, the tickets, the hotel, and you here you are with these fine people at camp meeting. How did that happen? God, supernaturally, God got you here. Is anybody here who knows they got here supernaturally? Except the man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the supernatural. So if you're not born again, you can't even see it. The reason I'm committed to the tithe is because I can see. See, being born again gives you privileges. You got special x-ray glasses. You can see stuff that ordinary people can't see. That if I give a tenth, God will make the 90% greater than the 100%. But you got to be able to see that. But if you're not born again, you can't see that supernatural side. If I can see, I understand that when the tithe is presented to me, it assumes that all of it is God's. See, the tithe is not God taking 10% of what's mine.
Right.
It's God allowing me to keep 90% of what's His. But if I'm not born again, I can't see it. Come on, there's somebody say, I'm born again, man. I'm born again. I see. I'm born again so I can see. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? Notice a mother has a womb, not a birthing person. A mother has a womb. That's how we know you're a mother, is that you have a womb. A woman has a womb. Woman, womb, man. A man with a womb is a woman. I'm just trying to be nice. Watch him go further. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the supernatural. If he's not born again, not only can he not see it, he cannot enter. He can't participate. You go over into 1 Corinthians 15 and see where you can't inherit the kingdom if you're not born again. Now, seeing, entering, and inheriting are three different things. Let's go up here on 30. I see Acadian Bank. But seeing it does not mean I enter it. But if I park my car and get out the car and walk through the door, I have now entered Acadian Bank. But seeing Acadian Bank, entering Acadian Bank, is a big difference from inheriting Acadian Bank. But we can see, enter, and inherit the kingdom of God. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
I said, is that fair?
Yes, sir.
So you can't see, you cannot enter. Then verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, don't be shocked. Don't get surprised that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Yeah, you got to do it. You must be born again if you want to live this supernatural life. Now look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, when you are born again and take on that supernatural flow and that supernatural role, if someone can see what you're doing, they can't stop it. But it's highly likely they cannot see what you're doing. When you're moving supernaturally as a born-again person, things can be moving in your life and the enemy is stopping. He's trying to stop you at first base, but you already on second. You ever seen softball or baseball, and the outfield will catch the ball and they throw the ball to first, but the runner's already on his way to second. Then when they throw the ball to second, but he's not on his way to third, they throw the ball to third, he's on his way home. The devil is always a step behind because he cannot really tell what's going on with a born again supernatural person. He sees some of it, but then he's like, but okay, but I'm a little confused. That's why the devil can do everything he can and change nothing. Have you ever noticed how the devil will throw everything at you and still change nothing? What a miserable existence. What a loser. What a loser. You do everything you can and change nothing. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter cussed and the wheels fell off. And then they crucified Jesus. And then on the third day, Jesus still up walking around. Nothing the devil did stop what God already said was going to happen. Nothing the devil has no answer to the supernatural. No weapon formed against you can prosper. He can do everything he can and nothing will work. He can do everything and change nothing. I call it the stealth mode. All right, turn to John 1. Turn to John 1. Let's make sure we get this all in here. That's one of my laughing master life bearers. He laughing because he's full of joy. And you would be too if you know what really is on the inside of you. You'll be a ha, 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 ha. He, 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 he. I'm about to enjoy my life when I get home. I'm about to function in some supernatural juice that I've had all along. I've had it all along. I tell you what it is. It's a good little code word for us. So the unbelieving believers, see, there are two types of believers, believing believers and unbelieving believers. Then they're sinners. For all them, we got a code. Is it soup? Soup? It's short for supernatural power. Hey, girl, I see that car. What happened? Soup? Your previous life as a heavy drinker turned your liver into a brick, and it was nothing they could do about it. How did you get a soft liver? Zoop. Just tuck that away. Take that home with you. Zoop. John 1. Y'all are messing with me. Let me finish. I'm born again, and I'm supernatural. Born again, man. I'm born again. I actually believe that a virgin woman, never having sex, had a baby. I believe that. God dog it, I believe that. And then I believed he walked on this earth perfectly without sinning. And then he sacrificially laid down his life, died, but on the third day, God raised him from the dead. And then he got up because God got him up and walked around talking about, I got all power in my hand. Then he went up and sat down on the right hand of the Father to execute the victory that he won by getting up from the dead. I believe it. I believe it. If you believe that, you can believe just about anything else. There got to be some kind of supernatural sounds to go with the supernatural illustrations that are coming in your life. So you need something like, whoa! You need something like, ah! You need something like, glory! You need to have those tucked in your pocket. At a moment, you pull it out. John 1. John 1. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born again of God.
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes. Yes.
In other words, when he talks there about being born of blood, he's talking about natural conception.
Yes.
Thank God for natural conception.
Yes.
We wouldn't be here if it was not for natural conception. Thank God for David and Hazel Forbes. That got together,
yeah.
Hallelujah,
yeah.
On the campus of Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. God glory, I was born in New York, but I was conceived in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, I know my roots. And my father, my mother went on to be with the Lord 10 years ago. My father ended up marrying his high school sweetheart, who he met before he married my mother in college. And I performed the wedding. And the highlight of the wedding was me saying, you know, I'm so glad that you all got back together, but I'm glad it didn't work out the first time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. It didn't work out the first time. Glory to God. Zoop. Hallelujah. And so he's saying that we're born naturally. It is according to natural conception. Sperm meets egg. That's very important. Then he says the will of the flesh. That has to do with just pure natural impulse. In other words, it's a man and a woman giving in to the urge to merge. But he said, but we're not born again by that either. Then he says, neither are you born again by the will of man. Just that, even in a legitimate sense, a man and a woman coming together to have a child. They plan it out and they're ready for it. But we're not born again according to that either. He says we're born again according to the will of God. My born-again experience that made me supernatural is based on the will of God.
Yes,
sir. Wow. Lastly, let's get over to 1 Peter. Then I'll get into the sermon. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Yes, sir. It's a $1,000 check. I'll put it right here where y'all can see it. I'm my daddy now. I don't make no mistake about it. First Peter, let's get there. Then I have to give you a couple of examples of how this can work. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit under unfeigned love in the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Wow. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord, by which I'm born again, endureth forever. I was born again by a sperma that endures forever.
Yeah.
The word of God, whether it's a logos word, which is the written Bible, the scripture, logos, rhema, and understand this, the purpose of logos is to get you to rhema. In other words, logos trains a new believer and a young Christian how to get to rhema, where God can talk to you. By a living word. See, it's written word, then a living word, and then there's the incarnate word, which is Jesus himself. So each one leads you to the next. Oh, come on now. So when you get born again, you just get your first Bible, and you got your Bible, and the Bible is literally, it's a ceiling that you're reaching for. But then when you get skilled in the word, that ceiling becomes your floor because now you're on the next floor up. And you're reaching for rhema. And he can talk to you. So the word of God is how I got born again. That's why I continue to meditate and stick with the word of God. Yeah. Stay with the word of God no matter what. Yeah. My step team had a step like this. It said, have you had your word today? Ha, 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 ha. Do you have your word today? Ha, 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 ha. The word will tell you what to say. Ha, ha, shanda. You need the word of God to direct your path from Logos to Rhema all the way over into the incarnate word. I wouldn't laugh if I was you. So let's talk about how this can work. What happens when you are, David, bring me that instrument I gave you. Let me use that right here. Yeah, there we go. There we go. This is my only son. All right. Now, the flashlight. We'll look at the flashlight and then we'll say, okay, can you cut the light on? All right. And the light's on. Then, okay, cut it off. Can you cut the light on? All right, camera. So you know, I don't want to blow. I might blow something up. All right, there you have it. Y'all got it too. All right, I really am not cutting the light on. The source of power is the battery. The battery has transferred the power in it to the bulb. All that's happening is there's a switch that either stops or allows that currency to flow. Yeah. I'm not really cutting the light on. The light wants to be on. It just, this switch. It's similar to your bathroom. When you get to the tap, you're not cutting the water on. The water is already right there. All you're doing is opening a valve and allowing the water to flow. So, oh, Jesus, so the supernatural is no longer about me. Lord, send me some power. Lord, no, the power is already here since I got born again. All I got to do is have that switch ready to open up and let that power flow. Wow. You see that? So I'm not, oh, I really need to pray harder. Praying long is great, but that's not going to get you more supernatural power. You had all the supernatural power when you got born again. God took something dead and made it alive. You have no other problems that serious. So he started with the hardest thing. And it's not too hard for God. But he started with the most challenging, most formidable issue in your life and fixed it. By you just saying, I believe what God said. Now all you got to do is just believe what God said. Supernatural will flow every time. All right, be seated. Philippians 1:7 says something. It talks about, and Paul was actually speaking, and Paul said, it's something else that is going on because I have you all in my heart. So God is, he's able to open up a portal. See, a portal is a gateway between two places. See, we're earth and then there's heaven. They were originally intended to be the same. Lucifer fell. Sin brought a broken condition to the earth. And so then they became distinct and different. But the whole purpose of earth is to mirror heaven. They're supposed to dance together. They're supposed to be together. And so what happens is when a supernatural person is able to open up a portal. Because they're supernatural. And there's a signal. There's a beacon that the supernatural realm is looking for opportunity to tap in to the natural world and do some things. Renew a kidney. Renew a liver. Renew a heart. Renew a finance. And so what has to happen is that there are people, places, and circumstances. It's that confluence, or that's a confluence is two things, so that would be a trifluence. I just made it up, but a trifluence where three come together and it makes things happen. I remember when Trace and I, our church was very young at the time. You heard Apostle reading off the chronology of things, the historicity of our great ministry. And I had met him at Steve Parsons in Richmond Christian Center. That's where I first encountered Dr. Thompson at the time. And so we connected somewhat because I asked him, what advice would you give a young man? And he said, and I'm not making fun. I'm just saying what he said. You need to peel that word. And I said, that doesn't help me at all. I don't know. Peel the word. So one thing you learn is when God connects you to your man of God, there are adjustments you have to make. See, I talk different now. I might ask somebody, I'm in Ohio now, I might ask somebody what your name is. And they think, well, he has bad grammar. No, I have great anointing. There's anointing in those words. And I talk different. Look, if you go up 22, say I'm 22, you're going to go through a small town called Sorrento. Yeah. When you go past Sorrento, the next town is called, now, they call it Santa Ma. Now, I'm driving through Santa Ma, and on my nav system, it says Saint Amant. I never heard of Saint Amant. Come to find out, it's Santa Ma. Now, I don't know how Cajuns can take Saint Amant and get Santa Ma, but that's what I call it. I call it what he calls it. Bishop talked about the Jeeps following the coach. Yes, he's very right. And I'm like, man, Bishop took my example. And the Holy Ghost said, no, it's my example. He used it, you use it too. And so you got a motor coach pulling a Jeep.
Yeah.
And the Jeep's got to go. He said this, you got to go into neutral.
Yeah.
But I'll go a little further. Every time the coach puts a signal on, the car has the same signal. You don't say something different. The coach signals right, you signal right. The coach signals left, you signal left. And the coaches, here's a wonderful thing. The coach's horsepower and torque are at the beneficial existence of the tow car.
Yeah.
I pulled my Jeep here. My God, 895 nautical miles. 895 miles. But my car did not put forth any torque or horsepower. Because the coach's horsepower and the coach's torque was providing all the power. I just got pulled behind. Torque is the power it takes to get the flywheel spinning. Horsepower is the amount of power it takes to lift 33,000 pounds for 1 hour. So horsepower and torque. And see, you got to understand that. Because some ministers are called, they have torque. But they don't have horsepower because they won't follow nobody. Torque gets you to speed. Horsepower keeps you at that speed. A marriage is the same way.
Yeah.
Torque gets you together, but horsepower keeps you together. Now we see. Money is the same way. Torque can get you money, but horsepower helps you keep and hold on to that money. So you got to have that in ministry. You got to have somebody you submit to. Anyway, he came to preach in Columbus. I got two stories to tell you, then I'll be done. He's easy for you to say, all right? You gambling with my chips. You telling me, hey, bet that. No. I'll choose it. I'm betting. But he came and ministered in Columbus Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. We went to a restaurant called The Cooker for dinner. This is when we used to go to restaurants and eat all the time. We didn't have chefs and things like that that could come from Richmond and set things up. And so we were at Cooker, and we had a great three nights sitting at Cooker, and two of my members at that time came in also, and they came into where we were sitting, and they said, Pastor, Dr. Thompson, thank you so much. And then I could feel betrayal coming. And they said, well, Pastor, have a good trip tomorrow, and then, you know, we'll see you when you get back next week. I was like, doggone it, God, dog. And so they left, and so a few moments went by. Dr. Thompson, he said, where are you going tomorrow? I said, tomorrow evening I have a flight to go to North Carolina to minister the word. He said, why you didn't tell me about that? See, now you're going to find out whether you want a daddy or not.
Right.
Whether you just want to be a bastard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not cussing. That's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Whether you want to be a bastard or you want to be raised by somebody. He said, why didn't you tell me about that?
Because I didn't want you to correct me.
But you found out. He says it's a young church. You need to stick close. You don't need to be traveling all the time. That's what happened. Well, the next day, they left on a morning flight. Trace and I took them to the airport. This was before Bin Laden lost his mind and we can't go anywhere in the airport anymore. We went all the way to the gate, put them on the airplane. They on the airplane and Delta at the time. And I still remember like it was yesterday. And the plane taxied back and taxied down the taxiway. And we watched it lumber down the runway and take off. And we stood right there and looked out that window. I feel it right now. Looked out that window, watched that plane disappear into the sky. I mean, we watched it all the way until we couldn't see it anymore. Then we began to weep. I said, Tracy, I feel like my dad and mom just left. See, that was a portal that opened right there. And the Lord just dropped down the grace that was needed to make that connection.
Yeah.
That's why I've been here so long.
Yeah.
And so strong.
Yeah.
And never wrong.
Yeah.
All right, so let me show you how to activate yourself. You've got to be able to keep your eye on God, keep your eye on Jesus as you go through things. Because what happens is when God's plan for you and God's purpose for you, which is greater than our goals. We heard that Tuesday and Wednesday, that our goals and our plans are not as great as God's plan. We don't want to limit God with our ideas. We clipped out of a magazine. And so, to really just leave the right vision with you, I'll share it with you this way. Back on July the 4th, that was a couple of weeks ago, I just got a new coach, a new motor coach. It's out there right now. Oh, yeah, it's out there. Right there. And the Lord did this thing because I had a nice coach. It was pre-owned when I bought it, but it was very, very nice. It's the top of the line of a Tiffin, which is a maker. And Tiffin, this Zephyr was what it was. I mean, it was very luxurious, it's very nice. But I used my motor coach to hook up with my man of God, because we have seminars and then we have meetings to come to. And most of the airlines are refugee camps right now. So I just prefer to just drive and just drive myself. And so I was putting so many miles on this coach, I knew it was time to develop, to acquire a new one. And so I asked Apostle, and he said, yeah, go ahead and sell it. Man, don't worry about it. Go ahead and sell it. God will get you something else. And so I put it on a certain site, and it was selling right away. I mean, it got a lot of attention right away. It was moving down the line of getting sold. And so I thought to myself, well, look, I probably will get another Zephyr. So I was looking for a pre-owned Zephyr, which is like a 2020. or 21. I don't remember now. And it was very nice, very nice, very new, maybe 6,000 miles on it. Basically new. But then they got blocked because someone came and bought it. So I was like, oh. And so then I found a Mountain Air, which is by Newmar, which is the same manufacturer that Apostles coaches are built by. And I like, this is nice. And they all blue, because this is my favorite. I'm a Dallas Cowboys and New York Yankees, so I got to have blue and gray. All right. So, because I was born in New York. So, and so, so I found a Mountain Air that had that blue and that gray in it. And then guess what? And then somebody came and bought that. And I'm like, oh, man, I got blocked again. So then I found a Tiffin Allegro bus. And I'm like, well, this will work. It's a 2019. I was like, this may have 20,000 miles or something on it. I'm like, oh, this would be good. This would be great. And we looked at it, and we talked to the owners. And it was great. We had the deal made and set up, all done. And then I prayed this prayer. I said, well, Lord, what do you want? I mean, what do you want to ride in? Because you ride with me, and I'm not riding nowhere without you. What do you want? And see, when you pray that kind of prayer, then you're going to eventually find out that what you desire is not good enough for what the Lord desires. And the Lord was not happy with that 2019. It was nice, but he's like, I've been riding in used coaches enough. I want something new, and I'm going to use you to do it. So the salesman sent me a number, which I thought was a sales number. It was a difference between the value of my old coach and the new coach. But all I saw was, I said, this is doable. See, that supernatural requires you to say, this is, it was out of reach, but now all of a sudden, I agree with this. Yeah. And so I said, I can do that. Yeah. Then the bank chimed in and said, look, you thought you approved for this much, we approved you for this much. I'm like, well, the numbers are like right there. I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. Come to find out, both numbers were incorrect. But I already had made the commitment. I already was there and went on in there and picked up this brand new 2022 Allegro bus. It's out there right now. And they, so it's beautiful. And so people ask me, what year is it? What year? A general taught me this. He said, what year is it? I said, what year is it? Deuces, baby. Deuces. Two of them. All right, look, 4th of July, last story. 4th of July, we go to, first week I had my new coach. I took it to a campground. It's about 8 minutes from my house. Had my children, grandchildren there. Almost all of them were there. And so we were playing games and swimming and doing all this. And Jewel, my granddaughter, she saw a sliding board. And it's a spiral sliding board. And she was, I want to do it. So we were like, yeah, you can do it. So she climbed the ladder and she got to the top. And then when you sit down, see the sliding board, see a normal sliding board, you see the bottom. But it's a spiral. All you see is 3 feet. And then you see nothing else. So she was like, I don't want to do it. And so I figured out what to do. I went halfway and stuck my head over the edge of the rail. And I said, you can make it. Just come right here. Just come to me. And she saw my face. See, never forget the face of your father. She saw my face and she came, she pushed herself off and came right down. And at the bottom, I had my son there to catch her. See, whenever you see the father's face, you'll know whatever he tells you to do, his son Jesus will be at the bottom ready to catch you. And so she went on down. And so what are we going to do? We're going to go back to Richmond. We're going back to Columbus. We're going back to Baton Rouge. We're going back to Alabama. We're going back and we're going to find the next ladder the Holy Ghost has for us. And we're going to climb that ladder and get to the top. And when it looks like I don't see where I'm going, I don't see how this is going to end, I don't see how I can make it, I don't see how this ends well, but I don't need to see the end. I just need to see the face of my father. When I see the face of my father, I'm going to go ahead and push myself off. Push myself off. Push myself off and go on down and let Jesus catch me. Yes, sir. Born again.
and I'm supernatural.